Entre la rose et moi, je la vois qui s'abrite. Sur la poudre qui danse, elle glisse et n'hérite nul feuillage, mais passe et se brise partout. Between the rose and me, I see her shelter. On the dancing dust, she glides without stirring the leaves. She goes past in a thousand pieces. Paul Valéry, La Jeune Parc. At the end of the previous book, The Secret Commonwealth, Lyra reaches the deserted city, Alkan al-Azraq, in her search for her demon, Pan. Under the moon, she goes alone into the ruins. She turned to avoid a broken mass of gleaming marble that had once been a temple. There she found herself at one end of a colonnade, which cast black bars of shadow across the snow-white stone of the path. And there was a girl, sitting on a fallen piece of masonry, a girl of 16 or so, of North African appearance and shabby dress. She wasn't a phantom. She cast a shadow, as Lyra herself did, and, like her, she had no demon. She stood up as soon as she saw Lyra. In the moonlight, she looked tense and full of fear.
"You are Miss Silvertongue," she said.
"Yes," said Lyra, astonished.
"Who are you?"
"Nurhuda el-Wahhabi. Come on, come quickly. We have been waiting for you."
"We? Who? You don't mean..." But Nurhuda tugged urgently at Lyra's right hand, and they hurried together along the colonnade, towards the heart of the ruins. And now, the final part begins. Part 1. Chapter 1. Beings of Another Kind.
"But who?" said Lyra. "Who is waiting?"
"Me," said Nurhuda, "and my demon, Jamal. But they won't..."
"Is he here? Is your demon here?"
"Yes, but they won't let him... won't let me..."
Lyra stopped. The moonlight shone full in the younger girl's face, glistening on the lip she was biting, and on the unshed tears in her eyes. All around them were tumbled columns of marble, statues of long-forgotten queens or gods, some still intact, and walls and arches and colonnades, gleaming brilliantly white where the moon touched them, among jagged shadows of fathomless black where it did not.
"But who are they?" said Lyra.
"Just voices. I don't know. It's like a war in here. They fight, and I don't know why. I don't know who they are, and I can't see them. I'm so frightened. Just voices. I can't see them."
"And they won't let you do what? Take your demon away? Is that it? They're keeping him prisoner?"
Nurhuda nodded. The movement shook a tear from one eye, and she wiped it away with the heel of her hand.
"And how did you know my name?"
"Your demon told me. Pan. He said you were coming."
"Pan? You've seen Pan? Where? Is he here?" Lyra's eagerness was so sudden and passionate that she didn't even notice that she'd seized the girl's arm. Nurhuda pulled away, her eyes wide with alarm. Lyra let go.
"Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to startle you. Only I've been following him all this way, trying to find him. And if he's not here..."
But she'd spoken too quickly, too impatiently. The girl was hungry and tired, and horribly alone. She was going to cry. So Lyra hugged her and said,
"Let's sit down. We're both exhausted and frightened. Just tell me everything that happened to you. I won't interrupt. I promise."
They sat on a crumbled shelf of stone surrounding a basin where a fountain had once played. A trickle of water still fell from the time-smudged mask of a satyr. It must have gushed from his mouth when it was built, and the spring that supplied it was still flowing. Nurhuda turned and scooped up a handful of water and sipped it. Lyra did the same. It was ice cold and clean, and she drank some more. She had no idea she was so thirsty.
"Where have you come?"